Zach Stevens Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zach Stevens Podcast. Today I'm welcomed by a guest that I've been super excited to have on here, and his name's Nick Pullen, and he's one of my favorite singer-songwriters that we have here on Hilton Head Island, and I couldn't be more excited to have you. Nick, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I'm trying to get some of these technical difficulties worked out. I'd be lying if I said this was the first take, but we're going to try to get this, you know, perfect and start the show today. We're going to have Nick play a song, so get right into that.
What's up? This song is called January Type.
Total, been running towards I don't know what, I'll go where it's warm. I got corners I'm cutting, as soon as they cut, it feels like I've performed. How is it I've done nothing for so long? That's not how I was born. But asking these kind of questions, I won't admit it, but it feels like I'm constantly being warned. Based on time, how long will it take to find me? Yeah. What if I make the answers? What if I can control where I go this year? The calendar could save me. I don't have to let old habits interfere. Yeah.
Friend, thank you, man. Thank you for that.
Sure, dude.
Just right behind you. Could set it, or you can even lay it across the couch if you want. It does not matter. Talk to me about that song. Like, where did that come from?
I can't remember exactly. I think that might have been one that I started like 2014 ish. I was just out of high school, like a year before, still trying to figure out what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And I went and stayed with my dad for a little bit, lived down in Orlando, and tried to sort of you know, get out of the bubble for a little bit and see what was up. And that song to me, I guess, just became about new beginnings and sometimes relying on maybe time to pull you through. And that's where that line came from, January tape. Maybe I'm the kind of guy to start over or you know, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. And like you said, get out of the bubble. Hilton Head is an awesome place, and we're very fortunate to be here. But as a musician, it sometimes can grow on you a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm, like, a little too much, like on your face.
Yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, I've been playing gigs 2 years, well, solo, and several years with bands and various acts, but it wasn't until I started playing solo, which you've been doing for a little while, that I was like, oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Like, yep.
Because our favorite musicians are not playing
– 3 hours.
3 hours, half of the year, mm-hmm. if not more. It's like, you know, a lot of people don't consider that, but it's tricky business.
Dude,
you know?
And – not only that, just the toll it takes. It, you know, it has its positives. Honestly, I feel like my voice just continually has gotten stronger. I'm sure you might feel the same. Like, it can take a toll, but, you know, it's like a muscle. You know, you sing for 3 hours, 7 days a week for 8 months out of the year. It's like,
no doubt.
Dude, you're out there benching 450 with your with your throat.
You know? Your larynx.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, one of my things is like, I'll sing songs in my car that I know are way out of my range. And then I'll find myself 3 or 4 months later coming back and they're in my range.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what the hell? Like,
did they ever go they go back and forth too for me sometimes. Like, you know, you know, there'll be a few weeks at a time where I feel like I can do anything I want to make any, do any run, anything that that comes to mind. And then, you know, you hit a little down point and, I don't know, it comes in waves, but dude, it's, I feel like we came up really similarly too. You know, we both grew up, I guess you grew up in Bluffton, right?
Well, yeah, so my dad was in the military and so was my stepmom. So I actually lived in Beaufort for the earlier part of my life. And then we ended up moving north for a little bit. You know, I don't ever talk about that, but I actually lived in Jersey for quite a bit. And you know, I love my people up there, but I wouldn't call that home. Yeah, I'd call Low Country home because this is kind of where we settled. And I went to middle school and high school. We're both Bluffton High.
Yeah, that's right.
Alum.
Represent.
I don't know our alma mater, so I'm not even going to try to.
Just go Bulldogs, Bobcats.
Yeah.
That's enough.
Yeah, pretty similar our lot. I mean.
You started gigging young, too. So when when did you first start? I remember hearing about you guys playing when, I was in maybe 10th, 11th grade. You guys have been going for a while, right?
Well, yeah, so I was in a group called Native, and I'm sure most of my friends and people that'll see this will know about that. And if they don't, Native was just a collective group of – I was living with Ben Huey for quite a bit, his family. So my mom lives up in Greenville with her wife and, you know, the rest of my family. And then my dad was down here by himself, and then we rented a room under Ben Huey's house. So, dude, I had no music aspirations or anything like that. It all came out of living – in the apartment that was rented under Ben Huey's house.
Really? Yeah.
And I would go see him play. And what's funny is like, I always felt like I needed to do something in music though. Before I thought I could sing or play guitar, I would say stuff to Ben Huey, like, we need to go on X Factor.
Nice.
We need to do, back when those shows were huge, you know?
Had the itch.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to be a star. But as far as guitar goes, I remember, do you like Mumford & Sons?
I love Mumford & Sons.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love Mumford & Sons too. Another thing Ben got me into, but a lot of their songs are in that open D tuning.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so bad at guitar that I would ask Ben Huey, I'd be like, will you tune this guitar to open D just so I can strum it? Because it sounds good, because it's a chord. And I was like, I would do that all the time until finally I found myself, I was like, oh shit, like I'm kind of playing Lover's Eyes.
Yeah, nice, nice.
So it came up like that. But yeah, music was never, it's weird. It was never like in the cards for me. Nobody in my family was like, oh, that kid's going to be a musician. It was something that kind of just like grew out of nothing, which is, you know,
awesome.
Beautiful in its own sense. But
and
how did
here you are
yeah.
better than all of us.
Oh,
like, chill out, man.
I'm not even going to go there.
Nah,
but how did it start for you? Like, when was the first time? Do you remember picking up a guitar?
Yeah, my mom had one laying around from when she was a kid when I was really young. Well, I guess maybe 10, 11. And that was when I first actually held it in my hands and never played it for years after that, you know. But it just sort of set a seed, I guess, in my brain. And, you know, so it was there. So once every few years or whatever, I guess it was only one little cluster of a few years. But it was like 14, 15, I started to really mess around and annoy everybody in my house trying to
pluck
around. And like, I remember my brother yelling across the hall being like, if you're going to play, play something. Like, damn it, just quit just strumming your guitar with nonsense. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
We have our licks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and he would play guitar too. And he was always way better than me growing up playing bass guitar. He's an awesome musician.
Yeah, I saw the other day a post you guys playing up a sandbar together. I was like, I didn't know Nick had a brother, and I didn't know Nick's brother played music.
Yeah, so he's been sort of, and he'll tell you, he's been in his own world doing his thing. He was military grown. He was ROTC high school. So we sort of, you know, he went on his path, and I went on mine. I stuck around here for most of the time, and he went to school and all that. But we played when I was first starting to get gigs, you know, the three of us, me, him, and our friend Ernest Bonner. He was a drummer. Who ended up moving out to LA, and he's out there right now. But we all went to school together. But Ernest started drumming around here, and I was like, "Oh, we got a cool little trio here.
We have a band."
Yeah,
it's
called
that.
It No Foolin' Poolin', and it was and that was after I'd been gigging with
that's still your handle.
Yeah. So that nickname, you know, actually came from seventh grade football coach McCaw.
Oh, great!
Introduced us at the pep rally. No Foolin' Poolin'. I was like, dude, that's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
I wasn't good enough to have a nickname. They were just like,
oh, we all got one. Don't
ball
worry about
bitch.
It. No, literally everyone had one. I was not like a baller by any means.
Oh, okay,
But so that's where that came from. Yeah, we started. I was playing with Derek Ludaway, Sammy Pasalucas.
I was about to say that. So that was the first time I ever heard of you or saw you was doing that project, which was called The Groove. What was it called?
No, we it was lazy. We went by Nick Poolin Trio. I think
Nick
we just
Trio.
Needed
okay.
to put something up on the board at or at, on the chalkboard at Boardroom one night, and it was just call it Nick Poolin Trio. Whatever.
Oh, I've done the same exact thing.
You know, 100 different band names that you can think of that you've come up with playing there with different variations of people. But that's how that started. So we would play all around, and I sort of, you know, made some connections with the Rileys and those guys, and so you get on that little circuit of, you know, Enchiladas Boardroom and
all those little different venues and Crab and everything.
So and we would gig during the summer and we'd do Beach Club and all that stuff, and it was a really good time. But I forgot how we got here, but that's that. So
I think I just asked you where did it all start.
That's how I would play with my brother. Yeah, but it all started pretty much from playing at I was 15 or 16 and I really started to take it seriously, and my parents got me I played a lot of Guitar Hero before I was even into, and that was also, I think, a part of what was getting me into it is my youth pastor, Bob Heinle. Shout out, Bob. What's up, man? He would give me crap for, you know, you're great at Guitar Hero. And he used to play guitar at youth group and stuff. And he's like, yeah, but you know, can't do this. Like, you know, challenging me in a way that was really good. Encouraged me to, you know, grow a little bit. It wasn't like a,
I didn't have any real guidance or musicians in my family or anything like that until I just, sometimes I think, like, have you ever heard of like the butterfly effect? Like, you know, this tiny thing had to happen for this massive thing to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think about that and how I got to living in Ben Huey's basement.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you with all this studio gear and everything I've accumulated over the years if it wasn't for like, the littlest
crazy?
Thing. Yeah,
it's, the that, smallest, most arbitrary at the time.
And you
it
can
might
draw those
like,
parallels to so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's why I just like, you know, appreciate where you're at because you never know what.
Yeah, you're so blessed, really.
Yeah,
like,
whatever, what's going to happen to lead you to have these kind of moments. But, you know, that's what makes it
so
fun.
Talk to me about, see, I've always thought of like melodies in my head and but writing songs never came to me until recently. So how long have you been writing songs?
I think I wrote my first song when I was like 15, and it was really just sitting in my room with my mom would buy me like little notebooks and whatever, because and I think trying to encourage me to write more or just in general, I don't know, but she would buy me little notebooks, and a lot of the time they were like from loves Switchfoot. I loved Switchfoot, the band.
I remember
growing
Switchfoot.
Up, and like. In like a big way, you know, so she would get like these Christmas packages, and they would come with little notebooks, and I would always get those. And so I wrote this, you know, cheesy little song and read a few more. And
do they have a song called like Dare You to Run?
Dare You to Move.
Dare You to Move.
Dare You to Move.
Yeah.
They also got
they had a couple
Meant
hits
to Live. Oh yeah.
That, like,
they had some hits. They were solid. But I grew up on Christian music, and they were like the biggest, coolest alternative, like
Christian
edge of mainstream Christian music that there was. So them and bands like Reliant K and like a few of these other big ones. But I love that kind of stuff.
I've heard the story told somewhere, and I can't remember where, but Pretty Darn, which, by the way, to the listeners, is Nick Pullen and Kyle Wareham's project that has just kind of blown up the island, and they have two records out and singles, and it's one of, I'm not going to lie, it's my favorite project on Hilton Head as far as production goes. I'm seriously not trying to blow smoke up your ass. It's something I truly enjoy. The fact that it organically happened here, gives me hope to put shit out, you know? And
thank you, man.
But I've heard the story about the project coming together because you guys were both singing, or he was singing a song and he heard you singing the harmonies to the song.
Yeah. Well, no, it was another band. He was, long story short, I was pretty much getting out of my routine of playing the circuit of gigs that I was on, and I was getting ready to sort of get out of the area for a little bit and try and start fresh. And we actually had plans to go to Nashville, me and a few buddies. Zach's
to move there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And this was when did Kyle move here? 5-6 years ago. So 2015-ish, 2016 maybe. And I was going to get out of here and just go change scenery and with a few buddies, actually. Jared Templeton, the homie.
Uncle Jerry. Yeah. Shout out Uncle Jerry.
And Zach Stiltner and his brother and, you know, that kind of thing. So Kyle was actually coming in to play Enchiladas and fill that spot with Derek and Sammy as the trio.
Oh, so this is the first time you had met him?
Kyle had just moved here. Yeah. Oh, I hadn't met him before that.
Wow.
So he comes in and I just sort of show up, and I was dating Eva at the time. So I came and hung out, and that was pretty much right when Eva and I started dating. It's funny that our little circle that is now our family, essentially, it happened really close to one another. We bonded as a group, the four of us. But
that's awesome.
So I didn't know Kyle. He was coming in to take some gigs and play with Derek and Sammy, and I was just sort of coming by to see oh cool, just sort of say hey to Eva,
make sure this guy doesn't suck,
see what's up with the scope out the competition. And Derek was on a break and Kyle was up there playing a song by himself called Washed by the Water by another band I grew up called Need to Breathe.
That's how I was trying to tie this all together. Are they a Christian?
They're a
band?
Christian band,
and
yeah.
They're from South Carolina.
They're from Charleston, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
So he was playing this random, or so I thought, song, and still people don't really know that band or that song well enough to be and he's playing it out, and I'm like, no way, dude, I love this song. And, by chance, Derek's mic was open. He was, I don't know what he was doing, but I walked up and I started singing harmonies with him. And immediately we both know. I was like, dude, this sounds really good.
The light bulb.
Yeah.
That story reminds me of, I love harmonies and I'm sure you love harmonies as well. Do you like Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
I love them. Yeah.
So that band apparently formed at a party at Joni Mitchell's house. And
nice. In the valley.
In the valley. In the 60s and 70s. Yeah. And apparently what happened was, they all had their respective groups. Crosby was with the Wings, Stills was with Buffalo Springfield, and then Graham Nash is actually the only British member in the band, and he came over from a band called the Hollies, and they're all at this party probably smoking weed when weed was awful.
Oh yeah.
And they start singing this song, da 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 da, and then they all three harmonize together, and then they're like, oh fuck,
we're doing for the rest of our lives.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
No, it was just, it happened really organically, and we, obviously over the years they've become our family. So it's like you said, butterfly effect, that one decision. And we mention this to each other from time to time, or at least I think about it, how differently that situation could have happened too. One, obviously I didn't move, but two, I don't go that night, and I feel like we still would have became friends over the years, obviously, because but that immediately could have set us off on he's somewhat of a competitor, and we could have easily been looking at each other from across the island in this scene
in this weird way,
dude, that's Kyle, he's really good, I don't really mess with him.
Or you go up there and you sing flat.
Yeah, right. Or he's like, oh dude, this
Kyle Wareham gives
you
that
sucks.
Face.
Yeah.
He's what the fuck is this dude doing on the mic? No, that's
it. It happened the way it should have, and here we are. And that, pretty much it all happened, little decisions at a time to start. We should probably play together. And,
And the playing together is awesome and it works out great, and everybody loves the sound. But it's one thing people don't realize is it's really hard to write with somebody else unless that meshes there.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about, like, how easy was it to write with Kyle from the jump?
I had never really collaborated with, you know, I never really considered myself this great writer, and, like, I gotta,
yeah,
you know, put my head in my journal and just, oh man, I'm just, you know, it was never like that. And I don't know, I was never good at collaborating. It just feels such a vulnerable thing to be in a room with somebody that,
yeah,
you might not know that well. But it can also break down a lot of walls. It can be a really positive,
exactly,
thing.
And I'm really insecure.
Yeah.
So one of my things with, when it came to collaborating with people or singing with people, I would always just be too scared to let myself go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, what if I say something stupid and, like, you know, but that's all it is.
Or sing the wrong note. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just, that's all it is just throwing ideas out and hoping something sticks, and, like, putting your feelings aside and just understanding that, you know, your first idea, Kyle, always said, your first idea isn't necessarily your best idea. And
that,
like,
guy
stuff
has,
like,
said
that.
Some one-liners that are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but it just all happened, like, he actually invited me over to his house that it's his parents' house, Kenny and Kathy.
Yep.
That he was sort of holding down the fort while they got their business together in PA and followed them down here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over and like sort of like recorded with him and hung out, and, you know, sooner or later it happened slow enough to where it wasn't like, oh man, like, we got to write this album together. This is, like, a little daunting.
We got to do this right now.
We sort of had songs that we had already had pretty much fully written, or missing a verse or missing a piece that we could each come in and, like, sort of fill in the rest of it. And mm-hmm. Made sense, and that's how Simple and Light Me Up, and he added a really fantastic verse to Rain that, like, filled it out. And I had sung that song for years, but the way he filled it out with that verse was awesome, and stuff like that. So that first record happened really and just, like, I keep saying organically, but that's it, really did. And we finished that, and the second record was really where we wrote, you know, in a room
together
and, like, really just grounded it out, whatever.
Yeah,
and
that record, you can tell you guys are, like, hitting your stride.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
No, it was, for sure, it was, and like I said, I really don't collaborate, hadn't at the time, and still don't really, you know, and Jared was involved, and has always sort of been involved, and
he wrote Wolves,
in writing,
right?
He wrote Wolves, he brought that totally ready, and we just sort of found our vibe with it, and played it in our, in sort of our own way.
Who wrote Brothers, the title
he
track.
Wrote Brothers as well, the entire thing. He actually wrote that sort of as an exaggerated, you know, like, dramatic way of
I was
seeing,
about to say, because I've only ever heard the story of that song through the grapevine, and by grapevine I mean the Nate Vine.
Yeah, the Nate Vine.
Nate was
like,
oh my god, that song was I'm not
That's a great Nate.
I'm not going to do Nate dirty right now. We'll have Nate later on
I
the
love
podcast.
That dude so
but,
much, yeah.
But Nate basically said that
he wrote it about us fighting or something.
There was some knockdown drag out, and I was like, I really don't see this.
No,
big
it was
fight
really
happening.
Cool the way it happened. You know, obviously there's going to be tension in like in any relationship,
passive aggression and
sure,
weird stuff.
Sure,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, I'd say that, like, our relationship has never been like, we've never really fought or had any real, like, big argument or anything like that.
You're both pretty grounded individuals who kind of have it on the table.
Well, and we understand each other enough to where, like, you know, neither of our egos is big enough to, like, ruin what we have going on, because we both, I feel like, really appreciate our relationship and our writing and our, well, just creatively, and just, like, that's my brother, so, like, why waste time fighting?
Yeah, no doubt.
So, but Jared wrote this really cool, just, like, exaggerated, dramatic way, and he came to it, and, you know, I'm sure pieces of it really came from certain moments or something that Jared latched onto and, like, really just rolled with it, and he's such an amazing writer, so it happened in a really cool way.
Yeah, one thing I love about that song is the back and forth line exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not... Because sometimes in a pretty darn song, you'll hear a verse song, and then a chorus song, and then a verse song, and then a chorus song, and then each of them done by one of you. Mm-hmm. But that song was cool because you guys were trading.
Yeah, it was a conversation. It was we love the way it came out, and that's one of our favorite songs to play because, you know, the audience gets into it. They can see it's like, it becomes like almost like a little bit. So
it's fun. It's like a fun song at the end of the day. So I got to talk to you about a track from that record, If I Asked You.
Yeah.
That
might be my favorite out of
it's mine, and it's strictly because you're one of those dudes that can really rock his falsetto. And the first time I heard that
song. Coming from a dude that can really rock his falsetto.
Coming from a dude who's trying to rock his falsetto.
Dude.
But, yeah, that song, I don't know, it just spoke to me. And it honestly just made me think, like, I want to write songs like this. Like, that have that cohesive to the falsetto. Because a falsetto is like, you know, you hear songs where dudes are only singing in it.
Yeah.
And
it's got to have a little bit of a range.
It's hard to jump to it, you know, from like your chest or head voice to that falsetto. And that song was just so sick. And what is that song about?
That song was just more like a feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
It wasn't about like, maybe it can be summed up in like a moment, but you know, we were sort of talking about it before we started a recording, like the gig environment can really sort of take a toll on you late nights. And like, you know, we've all had our, you know, we go out and have a good time, but you know,
you've also gone out and had bad times.
Yes, exactly. More times than not, honestly. But, when alcohol is involved, but, so when we're both young kids growing up, having a good time, being able to play music and have a few drinks and like, that's fun. We're having the time of our lives. And like, but eventually it just like became sad. You know, and like that song to me was that feeling of just like, what am I doing right now? You know, and it's like
that song, I can kind of relate to that because there would be nights after I'd play the boardroom and you expect to be on this high when it's just, you've just like melted faces and there's all these fucking people who are like drunk and screaming alone, at you.
Yeah.
But you know what I would do? I would go to Burke's Beach
and
sit on Burke's Beach alone in the darkness.
I used to do that all the time, man.
With the stars. And that song just had that feeling with me like, you know, if I left right now, it'd all be fine. Like
that
lyric especially, I was like, oh, shit.
You know, that feeling like, and it really was, I'm pretty sure maybe around the holidays, like late November, it's cold outside. Your gigs are few and far between. It's getting, first of all, everybody's depressed, you know, like
if you don't think seasonal depression's a thing, then you must have a lot of jet skis or something.
It's dark and like, yeah, right. Exactly. And it's just like your whole life just sort of, at least mine did, just felt dark and it just felt cold.
Yeah.
And I was like, and it was, yeah. So the chorus is like just the realization, like, you know, I can do a little better, I guess. I don't know. Like we can switch up the vibes if we want to.
We can definitely.
And it's about, you know, I guess the vocal or the lyric is about a girl and, maybe a mistake you made. And that to me never really, you know, maybe there's a person in mind or maybe not, you know, it just sort of is that feeling of like wanting something better, something more, like you need to get your stuff together. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that song was about a moment or a place in time and not really like an exact event that you can pinpoint.
Yeah.
Because as you can see, looking around my house, it's very bro-y in here and I don't have a girlfriend and I'm not writing songs about this love of my life. But there are times when I hear a melody or a line that just comes to me where I'm like, maybe I can write about this fight between a couple that's not even real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the beautiful thing about songwriting. It's really just, you know, like people who write books, they're not writing about what they've lived. They're writing this fiction for the reader to enjoy.
But maybe come from emotions that they've experienced. And that's where the most real stuff is made, because it's like, it can be rooted to, you know, something that came to you in life, maybe not in that exact way, but
you know, and I'll draw song ideas from characters in movies sometimes, like those relationships and what those events happen, and I'm like, oh, this kind of be fun to run with.
Yeah.
But talk to me about when you're alone or whether you're working with someone, but we kind of covered that a little bit. Like, what is your go-to writing process? Does it start with the guitar and the melody, or does it start with the voice and that melody?
It's, you know, it's usually starts with my voice memo section on my phone.
Yep.
And my notes section on my phone. And, as much as I'd like to be the like cool hipster writer that has this notebook that he cares, you know, it's on my phone. It's a little lame, but it's so
convenient. How many times do you go back and listen to that? And it's really you just driving around the Pope Avenue circle, just like,
100% of the time. It's like, dude, what was that?
I have awful memos.
When you're doing it. You have this beautiful, it's blossoming in your mind. And you're,
you see like bittersweet symphony.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it turns out.
And you get home and it's, like, what the hell is that, man? So, but that's usually how it's anything, you know, I'm sure you it's a line. Yeah. It's like a phrase. It's like, ooh, that's like a cool three or four words. Like, how can I start a verse or a chorus with that?
I hate when I have the best three or four words and then can't find the other 40 words.
But that's the cool thing about writing with other people and seeing their process, because it's about, you know, sometimes I'll even think like, what would so-and-so do, or what could be another way I could approach this to just sort of keep things moving.
Yeah. So I've had songs where I've had the box, the gift in it, it's wrapped, but I needed somebody to put the bow on it for me.
Sure.
And I'm really thankful for those people that have helped me out. And I'm also thankful for the friends in my life that don't come to me and they're like, holy fuck, man, that's the best song I've ever heard. I'm thankful for the friends that come to me and they're like, that is not complete.
There you go. Yeah.
Because without those people, you're just going to, because we all know those people that go through their life and we've met them that think that they're doing it all right.
Sure.
And they've never had a person be like, slow down, buddy.
Yeah.
You're kind of not.
It's important. And that's what I meant earlier about leaving reality your emotions aside and just accepting that like you're not the only person that's going to be listening to the song. So you need to, I was watching a show on Netflix the other day about songwriting, and it's like the best kind of partner or writing partner or whatever isn't the guy that's like, you know, sits there and, you know, it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. You're, you know, it's the guy that says, keep going. Just like,
Or the guy that's like, that's corny.
Sure. Yeah.
I really appreciate that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd write Oombop, which I actually like.
Yeah. But it's a different conversation. Yeah. Don't hate on Oombop.
So we'll circle back to some music talk, but you and I are both Carolina Panthers fans.
Yes.
And
represent. I got the hat on.
What the hell happened this year? We texted a little bit back and forth. Yeah, I don't think we watched the game. We'll have to do that next season.
No, and that's, I mean, I've been excited to talk. I feel like, and I mentioned it earlier, we came up similarly. We both have done the gig thing, and I've looked forward to talking to you about, you know, a bunch of stuff, but that also, Panthers, yes, it's fun. It's another connection.
Yeah, why are you a Panthers
connection
fan?
That we have. Me and my buddies always watch football growing up. So you pick a team and you roll with it. And
do you have a college team?
I'm a Gamecock guy.
Same
so
here, but
I
what
mean,
does
how
that mean?
How excited can you get?
It was really fun for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. Like honestly, like right out of high school, it was pretty fun. Yeah. All my buddies went to USC, and I didn't go to school after high school,
either.
So I would make the weekend trip and I would experience the fun parts of college.
I'm doing it this weekend. That's nice. Exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well you can reflect on this because some hazy nights, I'm sure, but I would go I still am. This is presently what I'm doing. I'll go and I'll party and I'll get super fucked up with all these college people. And then I'm like, you know, that's fun, but this house is disgusting.
Yeah.
None of you own anything. When was the last time you had a good meal?
Oh my God, where am I gonna have to sleep?
I'm using like sheet metal as my blanket tonight. I'm just over this. And you know, God bless those guys,
you know, but roll with the grimy for a few years, have a good old time. And that's Panthers are in a rebuilding phase. I'm gonna go ahead and give them a pass on this year.
Me too, because
especially with COVID and
if
all
you,
that.
And Matt Rhule is our new coach hire, and if you look at his rap sheet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His rap sheet?
Yeah.
If you look at, you know, what he's done, he usually has a negative season implementing his coaching style, and then that next season, mm-hmm. he builds up. And
builds from the ground up. He does it the right way. He did it at Temple and at Baylor.
Yep.
And, you know, second or third year.
That's what I'm hoping for. Man, and we took so many defensive players in that first draft, and I really like that because that's an area that we are lacking in.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a friend tell me the other day, well, Carolina just doesn't have weapons on offense. I was like, weapons on offense? We had five players have 1,000 scrimmage yards this season.
That's the first time in franchise history, too.
Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel,
Weapons.
We
need a higher ceiling quarterback. I love me some Teddy Bridgewater.
I've said the same
thing. He's such a good dude. Like, just as from what I can see, obviously I don't know him personally, so who knows. But
he doesn't have the X factor.
He's got to have that next level, so.
Teddy Bridgewater, I'm with you.
It's,
I think,
very
he's
vanilla.
Very vanilla. And it grinds you on those third and sixes in any part of the game when you just know there's a guy out there that'll go the extra mile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that Teddy Bridgewater doesn't want to, I don't think he can.
Dude, if we're in the fourth and we're down, turn the game off.
Yeah, it's turn done. The game off.
Yeah.
How many games did we watch just go
no
to shit?
Game
Minnesota
drive.
Game?
Yeah.
We lost that game. It's like, what? How did we lose that game?
Don't remind me, man. That's when I got my chin jersey, though, when we were playing Jeremy. He had two back-to-back touchdowns.
In like 10 seconds or something?
I was already a fan, but, dude, that sealed the deal. I was on my phone that moment after. I was like, dude, I got to get this jersey.
Right. I hate that they're probably going to snub him for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
They won't give it to him.
Because they're going to give it to Chase Young.
Yeah.
And Chase Young played excellent, and he changed that. Football, Washington football team.
Yes, don't you dare say it.
The yeah. Washington football yeah. team mentality. And, but yeah, our team is young and they're hungry, and we didn't have C-Mac all year. So that's.
I'm glad
huge.
They held him out. I had him for fantasy, so it was painful, but I'm glad yeah. they held him out.
I'm glad they did too, because you don't want to see a guy like that come in and then only, you know, further the injury.
Yeah.
But I think we take a quarterback in the draft.
That'd be nice to see. I've seen some stuff where maybe we somehow end up with the Deshaun Watson trade. That's a hefty price.
It'd be nice to have.
There are like 12 teams related to or linked to Deshaun Watson, though.
He Dolphins, Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. We'll see, man. But honestly, you know, we just got a new GM, too. He's had a solid resume.
Tepper.
Tepper's the owner.
You're right.
Finneker or something like that. He came from Seattle.
Okay.
But he's got a solid resume. We'll see, man. I think it's future's looking up. You can only go up from here, but it is looking up.
I know, man. And I've actually yet to go see a Panthers game live. How are those?
Fun. It was different this year, obviously, but yeah. It's good vibes. It's a simple stadium. If you're gonna go to a game, honestly, I would recommend going to Falcons Panthers in Atlanta, because Atlanta Stadium
the dome,
is
the, or
unbelievable.
The new one,
the Mercedes Benz Dome. Ooh. That place is like being in the future, seriously.
Really? I've been outside of it, because I've been to Atlanta for a few concerts, and it looks nuts.
It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just, I don't know if you feel this way, but I've only been fans of teams that disappoint me. I'm a Thunder fan in basketball. They had three of the top 10 players in the league now at one point, and now they're awful. You have the Panthers, who... Cam Newton doesn't want to dive on a football in the Super Bowl.
Oh, don't even get me started on that, man, because I disagree with you, but we can save that for another day.
Okay. Well, I also don't blame him, because Von Miller was there ready to, like, rip his head off. But I don't know, man. It's just sports is one of those things where some days you're like, I don't need this.
You're sort of a masochist, I guess, in that way, you know, just like the pain, you know.
Well, that's honestly a lot of the reason I like to watch like combat sports, is because you don't have a team to root for.
True.
You just have two guys or two girls, and you're like, okay,
yeah,
I think this one with the more tattoos, yeah, it looks like he's gonna rip his head off.
I like his shorts. The color's nice. Yeah.
So, Panthers, we wish you luck from Zach and Nick.
Yeah.
But talk to me about this new song, Unconditional, and what it was like to record with somebody, because you've only been recording with Kyle at Shelter Studios, mm-hmm. Am I right on
yep.
that? And you went up to Charleston and did some stuff with Alan Price.
Yeah, so I had heard some of his stuff through another guy around here, John Brewster, John Sheehan.
Shout out John Brewster.
Dude is awesome.
I love that dude's work. I love... I just love the originals. I love how he does his own album.
He's such
art.
A great songwriter. Yeah, yeah.
Great guy, too.
He does the whole thing. He's just good to be around. I heard some stuff that Alan recorded with him, and I was like, dude, it sounds great. So I went up and got to know him, and we recorded for a couple days back in June or July. I guess it was July. He's super talented, another great dude to be around.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of clicked and, recorded that one. And I was just there again last month, a couple months ago.
Tracking something new?
Tracking some new stuff. And we're going to have some more stuff on the way. I actually should be getting a mix back tomorrow. So,
It was different when I first heard it, because I was expecting kind of like the stripped down, like kind of Kyle production, mm-hmm. which has its own sound. And then it was more like, it kind of had like a worship feel to it.
It's, so I'm doing three songs. The long-term plan is three songs.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, I did grow up in church. That's sort of the foundation of my musical background too.
Mm-hmm.
It's worship songs, yep. our worship songs, and, which are by nature simple, powerful if you do it the right way.
Yeah. And, worship music for me can be a hit or a miss.
Yeah. It can come off as like, wow, this is corny. But that song to me just, I felt it just because it started as a song I would just play on my porch just by myself. And you know, it's got like a sort of a pop feel. And like a,
not a bad,
you know, thing. That kind of, yeah. So that to me felt like a good place to start in these three songs. And I'll get around to sort of talking more about it as I get on my stuff and start getting the music out.
Come on, Alan Price. No,
no, no, not him. Kidding. It's all me, man.
Oh,
all
right,
it's,
all right. He's putting out records of his own too.
He's killing it.
I checked out that song, John Wayne.
He's so good.
That was a cool
great
song.
He really does. The three songs sort of tell a story. This next one, Yesterday, that I've been sort of messing around with, and that we recorded and that I'm excited about, is sort of the falling out from that. It's sort of the, you know, if the beginning of the story is everything feels like it's put together and in a nice little package and you're on your way, the next chapter is the fall, and the next chapter is the really realizing just how big this pit that we call life is.
Can
and like
be.
Falling. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And maybe even sort of that feeling from the, if I asked you sort of moments in my life, like, what's going on here?
Which pulling from the darker parts in your life can be the most relatable and some of the best work.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the next chapter, the next song, the second or the third in the EP that this will eventually be.
Nice.
And the third song, Waiting, I've played a few times. I did it for the Swamp Fire stream that we did back during quarantine, actually.
Okay.
So shout out John Cranford,
shout
Swamp
out
Fire
John.
Records.
He's going to get a shout out probably every show because he'll get brought up in some regard,
yes,
John Cranford.
He does so much for this place, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
That song is called Waiting, which is the third final sort of realization that it's always, you know, you've had the answers all along. And
yeah, I'll have to go back and check that one out on the, I'm sure it's on like a live stream or something.
So yeah, and I've gotten questions about that, like, you know, it feels like it's a devotional, it's a worship song, like what made you want to do that? And almost some confusion from a lot of people, or a few people, not like, you know, where did that come from? And and I just sort of tell them, just it's part of the story. So
part of a thing. Come on, guys.
Yeah, and I put out a few solo songs before, but this really feels like the beginning for me.
Hey, man, what's up with this Jesus thing?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
No, I didn't even think twice about it. I was just, honestly, my brain is weird, and I was just like, oh, this mix.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
It wasn't.
Alan
even
is so freaking good, man. And
it was fat.
It was cool to have just a new recording, collaborating, writing, you know,
something fresh.
Yeah, yep. Experience. And that's always important, and just in any musician's or artist's lives, I think, is just to
100% try,
you know,
new things.
Yeah, you know, get in a room with new people and figure it out. And Alan was so easy to work with, such a good dude, and obviously ridiculously talented when it comes to writing and producing. And it was just cool to get to know him. And so yeah, those three songs will be out sooner than later.
But
Unconditional was the first chapter of that.
So we talked about earlier about you before you met Kyle and Pretty Darn came to life and all these awesome things happened for you in your life. You were considering jumping up and leaving, going to Nashville, and you didn't. And I think a lot of people are thankful for that. But you went to Nashville last week or this weekend, this past weekend to talk
to me.
Great
callback. Great call. So I went up, Yanni Reineke, another
man. Shout out Yanni.
The Qui-Gon Jinn of guitar players around here. Guitarists.
I can only hope
here
to be his Obi-Wan.
He is. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I hit him up. I had seen that he was playing with Bobby Magarossi, another awesome dude, musician around here. He was playing some stuff at this place called The Local up there in Nashville, and I was like, ooh, it seems sort of like an open thing. Like, you know, it's a songwriter round, so they're always getting new lineups every week. And
oh, cool.
And so I was like, ooh, maybe I could hit Yanni up and see if I can make
that's
something
awesome
happen.
To hear in a town like that that can be so corporate music-wise that they're pushing original
so
artists.
So much. Everywhere. All the time. Yeah. And seriously, it was we had a great time, and so we went up this past weekend, and Yanni put me in touch with the person who books those shows, and I booked one with her last month, and went up this weekend, made a little thing of it, and I, you know, it's nice to get away anyway, so we went up, Eva and I, and had a good little time, and just got back yesterday.
Yeah, I listened to the audio of you doing Casual. It was great. I shared it.
It was a great time, man. It was like, and I, you know, made a couple cool little connections, and
perfect.
Yanni keeps telling me, he's like, yeah, man, well, you could do this way more often if you just friggin' move here. So we've had that conversation.
I've never been to Nashville.
It's super fun.
I've been told to come up. Yanni's told me to come up. I don't know, it just hasn't happened.
Yeah. It was great, dude. We went down downtown after that thing at the local, and went to this place, Rippy's on Broadway, on the main strip there, and another Hilton Head son, PDB, yep. Peter Boniuto, Peter born in Utah,
one
AKA,
of the no. coolest cats from the island.
He's down there shredding at Rippy's with this band, playing some good old country honky tonk hits. And Yanni and I got up and did a couple songs there. He was cool enough to let us.
That shit is my guilty pleasure, by the way. Country music,
so good.
I don't play enough.
The right
of
kind
it.
Is good.
The right kind, yeah. I was going to ask you if you like country music, and
I'm not a huge fan of the pop end of it. But Yanni took me to this place called Roberts, which is like an OG honky tonk, like good OG country music venue, and it was awesome. So that kind of stuff I can get into.
See, I'm really into a lot of the. I love old country. There's a singer named Randy Travis that I love. He was my favorite from like 90s country, and then it just lost me with some of like the pop stuff, sure. like Luke Bryan and whatnot. I was like, Zach Stillner said it best to me the other day. He was like, "What is this 44-year-old married man with 8 kids talking about picking up a girl at the bar about? Like, why is he talking about that? He's
Zach
at home."
Zach Stillner, I love that dude.
Yeah, I'm playing a show with Zach this Saturday up in Columbia, dude.
That's awesome.
Playing all his
Breakers, right?
Honky tonk. Yeah,
there
Breakers.
We go. I love that dude. He was actually one of the earlier guys that I would go around and play gigs with too. He would
great fucking
Zach Stillner band. I would hop up there and I'd do a couple songs, but mostly I would back him up on those country songs, and
oh yeah,
it was a good time, man.
Yeah, Zach's the man. He'll definitely be on here soon, talk about his country upbringing, and I can't wait for that. But
one of the most genuine dudes. Like,
oh my gosh.
I love him. Yeah,
you can't.
One of my very very good friends.
You couldn't find a nicer dude.
Yeah,
and but as far as new country goes, I've been listening to dude Tyler Childers. I'm sure you've heard of him. Mm-hmm. Sturgill Simpson,
he's fantastic. Yeah.
And then I think Chris Stapleton is just.
Chris Stapleton is amazing. I love Luke Combs.
Yeah, and
Jason Isbell.
Oh yeah, Jason Isbell. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I guess in my mind I wouldn't group Jason Isbell in.
He's more rock. He's more Americana.
Yeah,
sort of.
I just call him a songwriter because I'm like, man, his lyrics.
I guess from an outsider, anything with a slight twangy thing to it is
it's country.
Throw it over there with the country. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, Nick, we're running up on an hour, and I'm so happy you came on, and it was fun talking to you, and I was hoping you'd play another song before we get out of here.
I would love to. I have thoroughly enjoyed it too, man. I feel like this conversation has been long overdue.
Cool, and I've just said cool.
Yeah. No, cool, yeah.
But yeah, it is long overdue. I feel like we've ran into each other so many times around here, and have never... It sucks, because a lot of times that you meet or run into musicians that you know and respect, it's really just like, can I buy you a shot?
Got a gig at a bar. Let me get you a drink. It's the same few things to talk about.
You talked about these new records with Alan Price coming out and whatnot, but is there anything else you want to plug or shout out real quick before we send you off and do a song and get out of here?
Just No Fooling Pooling, Instagram. That's it.
Yep.
I got this song that I'm about to play is out on all streaming platforms. Check pretty darn out. We got some stuff on the way. Pretty darn music on Instagram, prettydarn.com.
And I'll link all this stuff underneath the thumbnail and whatnot. But once again, guys, this is Nick Pullen. He's going to play his song, Unconditional, that is on all streaming platforms now. And I'll let you get right into it, Nick.
Sweet. Feel the pulse of the ocean, get away from the sound. Mm-hmm.
Zoning out in the open with a lost get found. And I climb just to fall back down. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. I'm a hopeless sinner, the shell of a man. But in the darkness you deliver, and your name I can. And I climb just to fall back down. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. Show me with the things you do. Know that I'm enough for you, yeah, yeah. You show me with the things you do. I know that I'm enough for you. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. Unconditional, unconditional. I've been missing love. Come on, listen up. Show me with the things you do. I know that I'm enough for you. Yeah, yeah. Show me with the things you do. I know that I'm enough for you.
Oh yeah, once again, you guys, that's Nick Pullen. I'm Zach Stevens. Had a lot of fun today, and can't wait to have you back, Nick. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bro.
We'll see you guys next week.